nonprofit law. David, we're ready for your presentation.
Thank you, and it's good to be with you all. That presentation or summary of my background is about 15 years old. The more important aspects of my career really began in 1999 as relates to this case, and I was and am class counsel in the original Black Farmers case, in the second Black Farmers case, and in this case, the Keats Eagle case. I'm going to begin with a summary of the Keats Eagle settlement. As indicated on the screen, it provided compensation and loan forgiveness for Native American farmers and ranchers, and the requirements to qualify for these benefits were that the claimant farmed a ranch or attempted to do so between January 1, 1981 and November 24, 1999, that he or she owned or leased land for farming or ranching or attempted to do so, that they applied or attempted to apply for a USDA farm loan or loan servicing between January 1, 1981 and November 24, 1999. And in this provision, the key point there is that this is dealt with farm loan programs. We talked to many folks who had applied for rural housing loans, and it did not apply. This case does not provide benefits for them. We also dealt with many folks who were trying to participate in non-loan programs, CRP programs, or complaints about other treatment that USDA provided. I just skipped the screen, I don't know why. But this case, Keats Eagle, was just for farm loan applicants, operating on emergency loan, farm ownership loans. Next, that the farm loan or the loan servicing was denied, inadequate, provided late, or the applicant was otherwise treated unfairly by USDA. And that as a result of the unfair treatment by USDA, the individual suffered some sort of economic loss. Typically, I didn't get my loan, so I couldn't get my crops in, or I couldn't buy, you know, the cows that I had planned to buy, or some sort of economic harm like that. And then finally, that the individual complained of discrimination to USDA or another government official, and that could include tribal officials. What this screen does not include, I mean, it's a very comprehensive settlement, and it provides benefits and programs beyond compensation, such as setting up a Native American Farmer and Rancher Council with USDA and revising or coming up with a plain language version for handbook for folks who want to apply. But those other aspects of the settlement do not have tax implications, so we're not going to get into them here. Next, I'm going, there were two different types of claims, and Janie touched on this in her presentation. There was a Track A claim, which was a, you know, lawyers deal with standard of proof. What do you have to prove? How much evidence do you have to win your claim? And with Track A's, which involved merely filling out a claim form that was signed under penalty of perjury, it was a very low standard of proof. It was called substantial evidence, evidence that the reviewer, the neutral in the case, might conclude that there was discrimination and that the individual suffered economic harm. For Track A claimants, if you prevailed, you received compensation of $50,000. Also, because that compensation is taxable, there was a separate payment to IRS of $12,500 for income taxes. So it's just as if it's a $62,500 compensation and $12,500 was withheld and paid to IRS. And then the last point, the last aspect of a Track A compensation for a successful claimant was forgiveness of farm loan debt owed to USDA, plus an additional payment of 25% of the principal amount to IRS for income taxes. And here it's important that the 25% tax payment was just on the principal. So if you owed IRS a total of $200,000, but $100,000 of that was in accumulated interest and $100,000 of that was principal, then $25,000 or 25% of the $100,000 in principal was paid into IRS, and that's because the forgiveness of the principal is what is potentially taxable income for the taxpayer, not the forgiveness of the interest. Next, we also had in Keith Siegel what was called Track B, and this under Track B, there was a higher standard of proof, what's called preponderance of the evidence, the same level of proof that as if one were filing a lawsuit in federal court that you'd have to prove by the greater weight of the evidence, i.e. something over 50%, that your claim is true. And this, Track B, and this was very challenging, it had to be established with documentation admissible under the federal rules of evidence. So unlike Track A, which was established just by filling out a claim form and swearing to it, Track B, the claimant had to have the documents to prove his or her claim. If you prevailed in Track B, you could receive damages of up to $250,000. That amount was also had to be proven to the satisfaction of the claims neutral, that you had to show specifically how much money you lost because you were denied the loan or the loan was late or you were denied loan servicing. There is no tax payment under Track B. So for successful Track B claimants, nothing was paid into IRS to cover taxes that might be due on the $250,000 or whatever it was. And finally, Track B claimants, just like Track A claimants, are entitled to forgiveness of debt, and that debt, at least the principal amount, 25% of the principal amount, was paid to IRS to cover taxes that might be due on the cancellation of the debt. This next page is just an overview of the claims process. The claims process went on for 180 days. That was established under the settlement agreement with the Department of Agriculture. There were 420, the period went from June 29, 2011 to December 27, 2011. We had 427 meetings in 32 states throughout the country. I attended many of those and worked with and privilege of working with hundreds of folks, and maybe some of them are on this call right now with us today. Next, what were the results of the claims process? A total of 6,246 claims were filed with the claims administrator. Of those 6,246, 4,466 were determined by the administrator to be complete and without defects and were then forwarded to a claims neutral to decide. So, you know, there were roughly 1,800 claims that did not go beyond the claims administrator, and there are many reasons for that. A number of them were duplicative. You might have, you know, in this case, you could only file one claim per farming operation, so sometimes you might have two family members filing the same claim over the same operation. Those claims were merged. Or you might have two family members filing a claim for a deceased family member. In those instances, the claims were merged into one claim. But then we did have claims that were defective, that folks did not fill out the claim form completely. They were sent a letter telling them that the problem had to be corrected. And if they did not do that, then the claim was not forwarded to the claims neutral for a decision. So what happened to those 4,466 claims that went to the claims neutral? We had 3,587 Track A claims approved. 786 Track A's were denied. We had 14 Track B claims approved and 79 Track B claims denied. And then of the 299 claimants who had were successful and they had debt with USDA, a total of $57 million in USDA farm loan debt was forgiven for successful claimants. Next, I'm going to hit on some key tax facts. I'm not a tax attorney, but having worked with farmers in these cases going back to 1999 with the black farmers who had a class action lawsuit against the Department of Agriculture that provided benefits similar to this case, I have a lot of experience just in dealing with the types of problems that our successful claimants have encountered, so I'm going to cover that during the remainder of my presentation here. First of all, as Janie indicated, that if you receive compensation, you must file a tax return. And first of all, the law requires it, but second, my bullet point here deals with a very practical, another practical reason why you should do that. Is that if you do not file a tax return, you cannot receive a tax refund. And we indicated that for the Track A folks, that 25% or $12,500 was paid to IRS on your behalf, it's just like that was withheld from your paycheck. And for many of our claimants, they are not in 25% tax brackets. So many, many claimants receive an income tax refund, just as if from your paycheck there was more withholding taken than was necessary. In order to get that money back, you have to file a tax return. So that's a very practical reason to file a tax return beyond the fact that the law requires it. On that point, I'm sorry to say, in the black farmers case, now there we had 16,000 folks who were successful, and we had several hundred folks who never filed tax returns and probably passed up a chance to get a refund. And we reached out to them, and for one reason or another, we were not successful in convincing all folks to file returns. And there's a deadline on that. You have to file within 3 years of the due date. So I've had, even now, I'll get folks who call me 5 or 6 years later who are just getting around to thinking about this, or maybe a family member persuaded them they should think about it, but it's too late for them to get a refund now. The next point is that debt forgiveness is considered to be taxable income, but there are exceptions. Now, the next speaker, Wayne, is going to cover these. He's a tax expert and can address these far more effectively than I, but what I have learned from my experience is that many folks qualify for these exceptions, that the loan was what's called a qualified farm indebtedness, or the individual was insolvent at the time. And solvency meaning that your liabilities, your debts exceeded what your assets were. And for folks burdened with USDA debt that may have been accruing interest for many, many years, it's very common for those folks to be legally insolvent, that their debts are more than their assets. And those are exceptions that would render the forgiveness of debt not taxable. And also there, again, for these folks, they may be entitled to refunds of the 25% payment that's been made to IRS on their behalf. The next point, and you're going to hear this throughout the presentation, you really need to consult a tax professional to deal with these issues. And frankly, it should be a good tax professional, particularly in dealing with forgiveness of debt. I've had occasion to talk to many folks who maybe for years have just gone to a friend in town who's a bookkeeper who does tax returns on the side, and maybe most years does a very good job, but they may not be skilled in dealing with forgiveness of debt and how one might be eligible for some of these exceptions. So you need somebody who knows what they're doing. And the next point, and this is an important one for claimants who filed on behalf of a deceased person, and they were filing on behalf of an estate, your mother or father or relative is deceased, and one of the children filed a claim for them. The $50,000, will be reported to IRS as income to the estate of John Smith. His son Joe Smith may have filed the claim, but the taxable income is reported for the estate. And hopefully all of you who did file returns on behalf of the estate received a form with your 1099 or even with the $50,000 payment that was labeled USDA Farmers Project Certification Form. And on this form, it gave you the opportunity, and I'll get to it. It's the last. Let me try and jump ahead here. See if I can find. There it is. On this form, you have the opportunity to fill out the names of the heirs of the estate who received the income. See at the bottom, the names and social security numbers. And it shows how much was distributed to them. And why that's important is that the income tax rate on estates is very high. It's 35% of amounts over, I don't know, it's 11,000 something, which is a much higher marginal tax rate than individuals have. So you don't want the income tax to the estate, because if it is, in the end, there's going to be a lot less for the heirs or the beneficiaries of the estate. But this form, by filling it out, the income is taxable to the individual, but each individual gets a share of that $12,500. So if there were two claimants involved in the estate, they would each get it reported under share 50-50 under their social security numbers, and half of that $12,500, $6,250, would be allocated to each one to cover their taxes on that. I have talked to folks over the years where there's some resistance. Maybe the money was distributed with all the surviving family members who were due the money, and you have some who say don't want to give their social security number, that they're not convinced that somehow these taxes are going to be paid into an account under their name. Well, it's too bad, but if that's the case, file this anyway, even if it's partially incomplete, because you want to be sure that you and the beneficiaries who have provided the information, that you get your share of the $12,500 and that it is not taxable income to the estate. This last portion of my presentation deals with somewhat overlap of what we just talked about, but it deals with tax problems that I've encountered in dealing with years of the Black Farmers case. First of all, while we said you've got to file your tax returns, it's not only with the federal government, but also with the state of your residence. And the settlement did not provide for any payment of income taxes that are due to your state of residence. So that part is not covered. And what I usually told folks when I helped them fill out their claim forms, I reminded them of this, I'd bear this in mind, you know, if you get maybe you're going to get a nice refund from the federal government, but bear in mind you're going to have to write a check to the your state of residence, so be prepared for that. Excuse me. The next point, again, if you don't file your tax return with the feds, you're not going to get a refund. You're walking away from money there. And next point and third bullet there is that there are exceptions for taxation of debt forgiveness. You need to be sure you are considered for those. And then finally, this is just what I was talking about before with that project certification form for estates. Please fill that out and show the heirs that received the money so you don't get taxed at the 35% rate. Then finally, Janie gave you the email website to use if you're having problems. Here's also the toll-free number for the claims administrator. They're responsible for sending out the 1099s. They can help you with that if for some reason you didn't get one. They're the ones who receive that USDA Farmers Project certification. They can help you with that, and they provide it to IRS to make sure that the $12,500 is allocated appropriately, and they can answer on any other questions that you have. That concludes my presentation, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much, David. That was some outstanding information. Floor is open.